Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, John. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
All right.
Great.
Good.
Great.
Okay. This is a part two of our wrestling with what Brennan Manning in the Ragamuffin Gospel calls the second call. So for our listening audience, I would encourage you, if you didn't hear part one, visit the Neighbors of Hope website and click on the link for the podcast from last week, and then you can get caught up there. But in the meantime, we're going to continue with part two of our conversation from last week. Never should our faith become stagnant. Right? And it is through those life experiences that we start going, so what does this scripture mean to me today in light of my 20-year experience between the last time I really looked at that at this particular level? Right? That's kind of what it means to be the living word when it comes to scripture.
Amen.
Right? It doesn't negate where it was. It actually makes it deeper, predicated on your own life experience. And that's where the whole hope thing comes, right? Your rejection, your pains, your sufferings, all that stuff. Everybody goes through it. There's no human being exempt. We all have them. And then we start thinking, well, right? Well, the Lord, you said you would never burn, right, Paul? The gospel's up. God will not burden you with more than you can bear. And then we started reading about Paul. Right? And all of a sudden we're reading Paul, and Paul makes that one statement about, like, I was burdened beyond, right? My burdens were beyond what I could bear. Thank the Lord for you in supporting me through that. And then all of a sudden we're reading, right? Because if we're just stuck on, God's not going to burden me. And then all of a sudden we're going, geez, oh, Pete, I can't handle all these burdens. And then we read Paul and go, oh, I knew that before, but now I see it because I've experienced it. And now I see part of this suffering, it actually gives me triumphal hope because I'm in a community of faith that shares my burden with me. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do it alone. Mm-hmm. Just as an example. Mm-hmm. All right? So, I just want to reemphasize, it's not that it was wrong, right? It's the foundation. Mm-hmm. So we're just building the rest of the house.
Right.
Right.
You know what's interesting when you said that about being tempted is the second part of that verse. It says, but when you are tempted, the Lord will provide a way out so you can stand up under it. So maybe that's being around other believers, other tools that you can have to help deal with your temptations.
Yeah. So it's things like that. And that's where Brennan's really good at saying, you know, our faith should never be stagnant. We just can't settle in going, okay, I got faith and it's going to be this for the rest of my life. No, the second calling is going, I still have faith, but now I'm seeing this is a deeper. And in the depths of that, doesn't that also deepen my relationship with the giver of grace? Mm-hmm. So therefore my heart, right, is transformed even at a deeper level. And this is what he's talking about, right, the second calling. Anybody else?
The one thing I struggle with is, you know, do I know that God is head over heels in love with me? My concept of love is not at that level. You know, I love my family, I love chicken wings, and I love the Detroit Lions. That's pretty messed up. But when God,
no, that's just called
Lions.
Let me clarify. That's just called American. I mean, what I mean by that is, you know, and I don't want to interject too much here, but we only have one word. Mm-hmm. You know, the Greek language, storge, that would be the whole I love the Lions. I love tacos, that kind of stuff. Philia, so I have this friendship thing going on. Eros is where we get our word, like erotic. So you kind of have that physical expression of love. And then you have this agape. And yes, we are talking about this agape. You know, this unconditional, in other words, I love you as you are, not as you should be. But it's really, it's a verb, all right? It's not an emotion. It's this idea of willing your good. Do we really believe God is head over heels in willing my good? as I am, type thing.
So yeah, it's hard to grasp that, because mm-hmm. we're not perfect. God's love is perfect. Our love, because we're not perfect, comes up short. I would like to say I have agape love, but it comes up short, because mm-hmm. a lot of times I have, well, but you did me wrong. Right. I don't love you so much today.
And isn't there?
And so, God isn't that way.
Right, and there's so many things that get in the middle of that, and most of it's us. Because, you know, well, if God's going to will my good, let me tell God what my good is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is, then now we turn God into that vending machine God, and God's not that type thing. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we become our own obstacle. And I think this is what Brennan's trying to that's why I said when we started this, we can just intellectually affirm this, but to wrestle with and get down inside, going, damn, really? Even when I'm going through this, yeah, even when I'm not perfect, even when I get in the way, even when, that's just amazing. And we wrote songs about that called Amazing Grace.
Good song.
Right? You were going to say something?
I'm watching my oldest daughter want to turn into a teen faster than genetically she should.
Well,
like I guess a lot of fathers probably do. Mm-hmm. And it makes me, and I'm constantly trying to remind her to be in the moment, don't grow too fast, enjoy being a kid still. So I think sometimes this love, this broken concept of love that we saw from broken fathers and broken mothers that weren't loving us as Christ does. And then we try to turn around and love people with this concept of this big God concept of love that we do. I mean, at some point it just seems like I can't measure up. But I think we're looking at a weird model, or we were shown a weird model. So I think sometimes that child metaphor throughout the gospel is so important with, hey, stay in the moment, you know, stay fresh, stay as a kid in this acceptance of love and this just accept it like daddy's pouring it out to you all the time. Hard one, hard to live in, you know, but man, will it change you? And like a child, will it make you grow also?
You were going to say something?
Yeah, somewhat like this. For us really to take a look at it, because we like to sometimes take that burdens, when the burdens are on us, we kind of want to point the finger at someone. A lot of times point the finger at God, saying, why can't you continue? You have all this power, why can't you just let this go away? And I think he's teaching us something, right? Because a lot of times we want to do that for our own lives, for people around us. We want to heal them. We want to give them everything they need. And so I think I see that in a lot of families. They want to, that their child that's going through something really hard, they want to take away the pain completely, or they want to get rid of their addiction completely. And so and they think they're helping, so they'll just give them money or give them things like that. Mm-hmm. But you don't see God doing that. He's there for you. He's emotionally there for you. You know, and he's there to walk with you as you go through that journey. So I think he's trying to show us how to live that life, and we're not paying attention. We're not paying attention to how he's teaching us, our teachings, instead of walking and following in his steps to just walk with your child through their journey in life. Mm-hmm. We want to basically take away all their pain so they don't have to experience what you experienced.
I love that. I mean, stop and think about it, right? It's almost as if God's going, no, you don't get it, man. You know, if you don't fall off the bicycle, I can't pick you up.
Yeah.
Right? If you don't go through the rejection, if you don't go through the abandonment, if you don't go through the betrayal, I mean, every human being ought to be betrayed at least once. Mm-hmm. It changes us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an opportunity to practice forgiveness, etc. If you don't go through the suffering, you don't get it. If you don't have the pain and the suffering and the anguish and everything, you're never going to grow. And you're my beloved child, and I want you to grow. Not that God's willing that on you, but this is that new hope that you are triumphed through it. Mm. Look, I'm with you. Right? I wouldn't change the opportunity, if I'm speaking on behalf of God, I wouldn't change the opportunity to cradle you, or to pick you up when you fall down off your bike, or to sit beside you, or to be dwell in you when you feel so alone. You know, you're going through cancer or whatever. It just feels like you're lonely. You're alone. And in the midst of that loneliness, can't you find the solitude that you're never alone? I'm always with you. I mean, when we start realizing, and it takes time.
Yeah,
I mean, in the midst of it, that's really hard for us to practice.
Yeah.
But if we can get past it through this hope that, you know, I'm going to get through this. I'm not sure exactly how. All right? But I know I'm not alone in this journey. I will be triumphant. And triumphant isn't necessarily on my terms.
Amen.
All right, man, I can become triumphant realizing, like, well, you know, I've had an accident, or, you know, I've gone through a certain illness or whatever, and I've had to have amputation, or I'm partially paralyzed, whatever. I mean, it changes my physical reality, and it's like, well, I'm still breathing, so I think I can still function, even if it means I'm limited to a wheelchair. Right. Well, you're triumphant. You've overcome it. All right. It may not be the outcome you wanted, but I do think you're onto something. We're going, you know, we're really taking away the opportunity. And you're right. I think we live in a culture that really promotes that. Right. You know, this instant gratification. And what do you expect from our culture that really reduces the human being to being a producer and a consumer? Mm. And that becomes the human identity. And God says, no, we're a lot more than that. So I think that's huge when you think about redefining the faith and the hope. And in conclusion then, I mean, we got to think about the whole, as you were saying, this whole love thing. Because I think our ego, right, gets us fearfully in the way. We start fearing, no, all right? I mean, isn't that how we treat each other? Look, if I really told you what's going on in my life, you might not like me. And I really want you to like me, so I fear if I'm transparent and vulnerable with you, you won't like me. Mm-hmm. Now, we function like that among other human beings, and so we bring that habitual practice into our prayer life, into our meditation with God, and we go, ha, okay, you probably know everything about me. But I'm not, right? We want to be guarded with that. We're going to try and somehow manipulate that, pretend like God doesn't know everything. Or we just go, we resolve to go, okay, you know everything about me, and because I know you know everything about me, and I know everything about me, and I know I don't like everything about me, there's no way you could like everything about me. And so we fear God can't love us as we are. These are huge things, and I think Brennan's trying to bring out to us that through our life experience, that ought to, when we're still wrestling with those same things, faith, hope, and love, we had that 20 years ago. But here we are, you know, in the 30s to 60-somethings, and we're having the second call. And how, it's not a reinterpretation, it's a deeper interpretation that is enlivened and deepens our relationship with the God who gifts us with grace. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate everything that you shared on today's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course, our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.